It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in sunny Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You compiled a list of 2016's fastest growing places, the cities. What are they?
Mm-hmm. Well, according to Forbes, the list starts off with Austin, Texas. Followed by San Francisco, California, Dallas, Texas, Seattle, Washington, Salt Lake City, Ogden, Utah, and then number 7, Orlando, Florida.
Uh-huh.
San Jose, California comes in number 8, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I don't know, Cape Coral, Florida is number 10. Don't know what's going on over there. But these are the top fastest growing population areas, which of course, you know, having said all of that, that means there's a lot of real estate boom going on over there as well.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was going to ask next is what does it mean if you're in an area that's growing? And actually these rates that I have listed here, which you didn't mention because there's a lot of them, but you're talking about growth rates of maybe 1 to 2%, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess when you're talking about population, those are high numbers, but you know, on the surface, it doesn't seem like that high a growth. But what does that mean to real estate in an area when I guess people are moving into the area?
Well, it certainly means that houses are going to start moving, the values go up. You know, like in the Austin, Texas area, it's booming. Their technology and pharmaceutical and biotech mm-hmm. industries are growing.
Mm-hmm.
With that comes big salaries generally. Higher educated folks, there might be more expensive luxury homes being built in the community. So it can start to change the whole, you know, dynamics and demographics of a community.
So as opposed to looking at communities that have declining growth rates, which would mean there possibly could be more supply of housing than demand, so prices could be dropping or not rising quite so fast.
That's true, yes. Mm-hmm.
Another area that you brought to my attention recently was a report about builders that when builders calculate the cost of regulation in terms of what they are required to build, it comes out to 25% of new home costs are stemming from regulations. That seems like a really impossibly high number. What do you know about that?
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, I thought labor and, you know, cost of material were mm-hmm. high, but according to this report, there's a lot of regulations put on, you know, permitting and different, you know, environmental protection agencies and federal emergency management agencies that drive up the cost of building a home. And these burdens, you know, of course, have to be passed on to the consumer.
Right.
And of course, this makes it harder for a builder to build affordable housing when you have to add such large numbers to take into consideration when they're building a home. So it's just something to be aware of that, you know, you always wonder, well, why is housing so expensive? You know, you know what the labor costs are, you know, what the average salary is, and, you know, a general idea of what it costs for materials. But, you know, of course, there's profit, but there's this an additional 25% that just goes to these fees.
Yeah. The National Association of Home Builders has put this out, and obviously they're against it. I'm sure that they're lobbying to have some of these regulations lifted. That would be my
guess. Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's change tactics here. The first-time home buyers may face a difficult spring, you wrote. What's that all about?
Yeah. You know, the inventory, it's talk about inventory all the time, but
yeah.
First-time home buyers, you know, they're buying something that's affordable. First-time home buyers, you figure that they haven't saved up a lot of money or their incomes aren't that high. For the majority of those folks, the national price point would be, you know, under $250,000. And in that particular market, we saw a fall of inventory by 8.2% from a year ago earlier. So that's a lot of lost inventory. And right now, the first-time home buyers in general can purchase about 29% of all the properties on the market. For them, it's getting harder and harder for them to be able to purchase. And part of that is also the fact that we still have some of those investors out there, and they haven't been, you know, A, they're cash buyers for the most part, and B, they're able to gobble up these properties faster than, you know, somebody who's trying to buy their first home. So that's putting a big strain on them.
So there may be a squeeze going on here as rental rates increase and the cost of housing increases, and looks like wages on the whole aren't not increasing all that fast as well. So this may be kind of indicative of things to come.
Yeah, you're right with all of that. And it is hard for the first-time home buyers. They're out there. They would like to buy. They have the income, the stability, and it's just trying to find a home that will work for them without having to move 40 miles away from their job.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's go to your two-year real estate survival guide. This is Ask a Real Estate Pro, and it's from Gary Singer from the Sun Sentinel. And here's the question. I am selling my house. A seemingly well-qualified buyer has presented a full-price offer, but he wants to make the deal contingent on the sale of his existing house. I'm eager to sell, but this makes me nervous. What should I do?
You know, I mean, this is a common problem, Steve. People need to sell their homes in order to buy a house, and we do see these scenarios where they put in their contingent on the sale of my home.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way to handle it, and it's called a kickout clause. As a seller, what you can do is put in the contract a kickout clause, which basically what that does is the buyer is given like a first right of refusal. So as a seller, you can continue to market the home, try to solicit another offer, and if you get another offer and it's better than the first one or even the same, mm-hmm. you can go to the original buyer and say, hey, Mr. Buyer, I've got another contract here. You need to waive this contingency and make an additional deposit or terminate the contract so that I can move forward with this backup deal.
Yeah, that seems totally fair. Yeah.
Absolutely it is. And mm-hmm. we do it all the time. Don't be afraid to accept it. Just know that you need to have this kickout clause.
So it's a right of first refusal in a sense. I made an offer, you accepted the offer, it's contingent, but instead of tying the seller into this offer, which may or may not come to fruition because the person's house may not sell, it gives the seller the option of getting another offer and then going back to the first buyer and saying, okay, it's time for you to do something.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
My guest, as always, is Terry Story. Terry is a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.